chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And that can be found on page 977 of the Pew Bible. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. When the fullness of time had come, God sends forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. So when we think about slaves, what would be your definition or your understanding of a slave? A slave has to work endlessly without any reward. A slave is obligated to always obey his master or face great punishment if he doesn't obey his master's commands. A slave has no rights. He has no inheritance. And so, as we just heard in our text for today, St. Paul writes that we were all under the law as slaves. The law was our master, telling us all the things that we were to do. The commandments were a slave driver, forcing us to obey on the threat of punishment. You were born into slavery, born under the law, and you could never escape that slavery. You could never complete the law's demands. As soon as one task was done, there was another one that followed right after it. And you could never finish the job completely or perfectly enough. You could never be selfless enough or pure enough to keep that law. Something always came about that that would keep you from doing the law perfectly. Something always kept you from that perfect obedience. The law was a picky master, a master who was never satisfied. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law itself. God, after all, gave us the law. The law comes from God, and therefore it's good. And the commandments of the law are summarized by love. Love, which is the highest virtue. And so the law itself is perfect, is righteous, is noble, is praiseworthy. The problem is not the law. The problem is us. As sinners, we cannot fulfill the law. If we had no sin, the commandments would be no burden to us. We would not be slaves. But we are. And the law condemns us and threatens us with the ultimate punishment. not merely a physical punishment like an earthly slave would receive, a whipping or whatever, but the very scourging of hell, where you would be tormented forever and held in the bonds, the chains of torment and darkness. That would be the end of you as a slave. So, who would choose to be such a slave? One man chose that way, the man Adam. He threw away the goodness that God had created in him. He smashed the image of God. In disobedience, Adam and all of us were forced to live in slavery and to always be under the law, always condemned to sin and death. You were conceived and born into slavery. You've never had true spiritual freedom. You were always slaves. But then a moment came in time, in history, when there was a second man who also made a choice. He was born of a woman named Mary. By his virgin birth, Jesus was conceived and delivered without sin. The law could not threaten him. He didn't need to be a slave. And yet, he decided to live under the law, even though he didn't have to. Christ Jesus voluntarily became a slave for you and for me. He was obligated now to live under the commandments. He took on the full burden of the law. And so he had to obey that law perfectly all the time. And unlike us, he was able to obey all the time. He performed every task that the law gave him, down to every last detail. There was no flaw in his work. He didn't do anything half-heartedly or incompletely. He fulfilled the entire law down to the last jot and tittle. When he had fulfilled every commandment, he chose to be treated as a disobedient slave. He became the suffering slave. He allowed himself to be punished as you and I deserved. He took the whipping of a slave. He was crucified as a man who had no rights. He suffered the death and the damnation of all of us, rebellious, disobedient slaves. He took on the death, the punishment that you and I deserved. And when he had taken all that the law could do to punish him, then he rose up from the grave, fully alive, to show that he truly was the Son of God. This man who had lowered himself to the lowest place, this suffering slave, was the divine Son of the Almighty Creator of the universe. And now, he has redeemed you and I. He has bought you out of the slave house of sin. He was sold as a slave for a mere 30 pieces of silver. But he bought you and I with the infinite price of his precious blood and his suffering and death. He paid the price for you and I, for every slave to sin on the face of the earth. With his blood and with his death, he could have purchased hundreds of thousands of worlds filled with the slaves of sin. And so, because of what Christ has done for us, we are no longer slaves under the law. Jesus has fulfilled every requirement of the law for us. So with what punishment can the law threaten us? Jesus has suffered and taken away every penalty that the law could dish out. Since you are no longer slaves, what are you then? You are what Jesus is. You have been adopted as the sons and daughters of God. You have the privileges of the daughters and sons of God. You have full and open access to speak to God. You can address him as Father because he really is your Father in Christ Jesus. The sinful slaves, we could never do that. We couldn't address God as our Father. That would be blasphemy. But in Christ, his Son, you now have that privilege as children of God. Think for a moment about that wonderful gift. The God of the universe is your Father. The immortal, everlasting, infinite, wise Creator is pleased to call you his children. Compared to him, we as human beings are nothing but a speck of dust. And yet, he is delighted to call you by name. He has given you his name. And so now, because you are his children, you are heirs of God. And that means you will inherit everything that belongs to God. God died in Christ. And so everything that we inherit is ours through his last will and testament, sealed with his body and blood. Already, you have been given his name. Right there, in baptism, you were given the name. You are now kings and queens in his kingdom. And you speak in his authority whenever his gospel is on your lips. As the children of God, you will also inherit the new heaven and the new earth. And you won't be slaves there. And you won't be mere guests there. It will all belong to you as lords and kings. You will be owners and masters of all things because you are the children of God. You will inherit the earth. Sons and daughters are also invited to their father's table. And so on this day, in this place, at this altar, you will have a foretaste of that everlasting banquet when you receive the true body and blood of Christ today. That place has been prepared for you to sit as the children of God. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the garden, they disobeyed God and became slaves. But now, this day, at God's command, you take and eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ, knowing that through that body and blood, you have become and now have the right to be called the children of God, because that is what you are now in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this